and you pay dearly the first time. I learned that you order a Coke in France and you get the bill. It was about $6. And you think, boy, that was a good Coke. That was really good. Glad I just got one. Amen. And you appreciate all of these high prices here in the United States. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we were in Madrid, Spain, and had the privilege to preach there in a church that I preached in, in 2000. And God had really blessed. 19 and 2000, they probably had around 100 people. And last Sunday morning, there were a lot of people out, and they still had well over 400. So it was a tremendous, tremendous growth. Amen. And so I was very thankful to see that. And that was a little limiting. We had to catch a train to go to Salamanca, where we saw the Guidrys and preached Sunday night. We got there with plenty of time. We had 2 minutes to spare. Because we ran, that's right. And we got there, jumped on the train, and it was very interesting. And so we got to Salamanca and had a great time with the Guidrys. They're starting a brand new work, I suppose. Sunday night, they probably had around 20 people. And so they're just doing great. And we were just real excited. The Spirit's really building. I believe they're very soon going to have a tremendous breakthrough there. And so it was really, really exciting to be a part of that. And hope we can go back to Salamanca in a little while, and they'll be running 300 or 400. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. God's doing great things in the world, isn't he? And I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad he's doing great things right here at home. Amen. I heard while I was going, y'all had real good services. Amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. I think it'd be okay to have a good one today. And then again tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God did some great things, some great healings. Amen. Sister Covey, you still got the victory?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother James, you still got the victory? God's doing good things, isn't he? Anybody else, Lord, do something good for you? Say hallelujah. Amen. He's a good God. Tremendous, tremendous to serve him. Amen. I'm happy to have my daughter here today. She's, of all of my kids, she's my favorite one. I know I talked about favoritism this morning, how you're not supposed to play favorites, but I'd have to tell you that Cherie's my favorite. Amen. And of all of our kids, she's number one. At number two, amen, she's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending. First and the last. Amen. All right. Somebody used to ask us, they said, why didn't you have more kids? I said, well, when you get a perfect one, you just stop. Amen. That's right. You do it right the first time. Ain't no sense in all this going on and on. Amen. My folks, it took them 7 times to get it right. When I was born, they finally stopped, see, because they got what they was looking for. Amen. Well, that's not really the way it happened. But anyway, it sounds good. Amen. When you're the last, you make all kinds of excuses. And so I did. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, Cherie, come and worship the Lord with a song. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
So good to be back in Athens, and I'm just so proud of what I have and of my Pentecostal heritage. It's an honor to serve God and a great pleasure to be here today. Jesus.
Bless the Lord, Jesus.
Amen. Well, I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Well, I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' name. I went down to the altar to repent of my sins. Went down to the altar to repent of my sins. When I spoke in other tongues, when the Holy Ghost came in. And I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Well, I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' name. Well, some preachers not in gospel that say there's nothing to do. But when I got baptized in Jesus' name. I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' name. Well, some say there's nothing different. They say we're all the same. But when I got baptized in Jesus' name. Now I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' name. Well, some preachers, modern gospel, they say it's a new day. But Peter preached at Pentecost, it's still the only way. I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' name. I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. And I'm a classical Pentecostal, and I'm not ashamed. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' name. Because everything I'll do it all in Jesus' name. Because everything I do it all in Jesus' wonderful, powerful, matchless name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I heard a testimony one time of a man that had received the Holy Ghost, and he was talking to another man, and he said, "I got the Holy Ghost," he said, at a Pentecostal camp meeting. They were not Pentecostal, and the guy looked at him, and he said, "My," he said, "it really must be something to get it among them." Amen. It doesn't really matter where you get it, just get it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's go to the word of the Lord, shall we? Go into the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 28. Let me say, while you're finding that, how much I appreciate all the work that you've done around here. While we were gone, had some great, wonderful surprises when we got home. And I appreciate all the good things and the painting and the new door and the times on the church sign and all the good things that you've done. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for keeping things going and having good church. Amen. Brother and Sister Hart are with their son in Galveston this weekend, so they'll not be here. But I want to say how much I appreciate their good help as well. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate God's protection, watching over us and over our church. Somebody did decide to come in and take a few things, and we needed some new doors anyway. Looks like Church Mutual might help us buy them, so we appreciate that. Just some hard work to put them in, but we're not afraid of hard work, are we? Thank all three of you. Praise God. I was just wondering how that was going to fly, but you just toss it out there and just kind of see. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 12. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Everybody say, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. And my question today is it too much? Is it too much? Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. But the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And they made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered up on the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. But the question today is it too much? Is it really too much? Is God asking too much? Is it really too hard? Is it too much? The Lord bless you. You may be seated. A little history lesson today to put all this in focus. Under Saul, the first king of Israel, it was a united kingdom for 40 years. Under David, it was a united kingdom for 40 years. Under Solomon, it was a united kingdom for 40 years. There was one Israel. There was one place of worship. There was one religion. And everybody went to the same place. And then in the time of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the kingdom was divided. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king. And he counseled with the people, and he counseled with the elders, and he said, how should I reign as king? And the wise counselors said to Rehoboam, the king, they said, your father in building all of Israel was heavy with taxation. It would be good if you would just lighten the load a little bit and let the people have a little rest and a little respite. And Rehoboam then called some more counselors, and he asked of them, and they said, I think you should be harder than your father was, and you should tax the people more than Solomon did, and make it harder, and say, if you think that he ruled with an iron fist, he said, I'm going to reign much harder than he did. And it sounded good to Rehoboam, and so he took the counsel of those men. And when he did that, there were 10 kingdoms in the northern part of the province that said, no more. And they elected a man by the name of Jeroboam to be their king. So the kingdom was divided. And it has never yet been reunited. There were 10 tribes in the north. There were 2 tribes in the south that remained a part of the original kingdom. And that was Benjamin and Judah. And in the time of Christ, it was so. Still divided. Still divided. And so the northern part became known as Judea, or as Israel. The southern part became known as Judah. So if you remember in your Bible, when you're reading in the book of Kings, in the book of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you notice that it talks about kings of Israel and kings of Judah. The kings of Israel were the 10 northern tribes. The kings of Judah were the 2 southern tribes. So the kingdom then is divided. As a matter of fact, every king of Israel were evil kings. Judah had some good kings and some bad kings. Amen. In the time of Christ, it was the northern part was still a divided place. And the southern part was called Judea. And so it was still a divided kingdom. And that is even through history. And so the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam, in an effort to maintain his kingdom, made this decree. If you'll notice what he said here. First of all, the Bible says that he made two golden calves. And he put one in Bethel, which was close to the southern border. And he put one in Dan, which was close to the northern border. And he said, we will worship at these places. He said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. It's too hard to go to Jerusalem. It's too much effort to go to Jerusalem. That's where you've always worshiped in the past. He said, but you don't have to go there anymore. Let me make it easy for you. Let me make it more convenient for you. Let me make it a little different for you. These are your gods that delivered you out of Egypt. And then he established a feast on the same day as a feast that would have taken place in Jerusalem so that nobody would go to Jerusalem. Amen. Is it too hard? Is it too difficult? Amen. The question arises again today. Is God asking too much of us? Is it too hard to really worship God in the genuine salvation of Acts 2:38 salvation? Is it really too much? Amen. People today, there are certain churches and certain groups that are telling us it's too much. You're too hard. You're too difficult. Let's don't make it so stringent. Let's don't make it so narrow. Let's make it easier for the people. Let's make it easier for everybody. Amen. You really don't have to do all of those things anymore. Amen. Is it enough? Is it too much? Is it too hard? The king said, it's too much for you. Let me make it easy. Let me just say today, even a king can't change God's plan. Even a king can't change God's word. Even a king can't change God's plan. Even a king can't change God's salvation. No matter who it is, no matter what they say, they can have more degrees than a thermometer and more education than they know what to do with. But don't change the word of the Lord. Let it stay the same. Amen. It says what it says and it means what it says. Amen. As a matter of fact, God said if you change one thing in the book, he said the curses of the book will be added to you. God doesn't want people messing with his word. And could I say, neither do you. How many of you like it when somebody changes your word? When somebody says that you said something that you didn't say, does that make you angry? When people twist what you say and make you say something that you didn't say? Hey, if it makes me angry, it makes God angrier. Amen. His word is more important than my word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. He said, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem so important? What's different about Jerusalem? In the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Solomon says, since the day, or the Lord speaking, said, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I've chosen David to be over my people Israel. So you see, Israel is a special place because God said, I'm going to put my name there. I choose this city. When you look at the geography of Jerusalem, it's an oddity that it's chosen as a capital. It has no major river that flows through it. Other major cities, all the capitals of the world, just about, they have major rivers or a port city or some other thing that makes them famous. Jerusalem's a rock out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing really to recommend it. It appears first in the Bible as the city of Sodom. I'll get it right here in a minute. Amen. Yeah, it's the city of Sodom, which simply means peace. Jerusalem means city of peace, or possession of peace, or foundation of peace. And yet, there's more war and more bloodshed in Jerusalem than just about any place in the entire world. Isn't it amazing today that in Jerusalem, of all places, did you know there's more reporters in Jerusalem than any other capital city in the world? There's more media coverage in Jerusalem than any other place in the world. And it's not the largest place. What makes it so? Why does it figure so prominently in world history? Because God put his name there. And where God put his name, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to the devil. And it's a challenge to all of the forces that are against God. And so they all focus on Jerusalem, trying to blot out that name, trying to destroy that name. But it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. When God chose Jerusalem, it automatically made it something very special. Amen. It was not Jerusalem until David's time. As a matter of fact, in the first kingdom of Solomon, or in the first kingdom of Saul, rather, the capital of Israel was not Jerusalem. It wasn't until David. You remember when David slew Goliath? And remember, he took his head and he hung his head on the walls of a city by the name of Jabus. Jabus was the city that was in David's backyard. David lived in Bethlehem. It was a possession of Judah, but Judah had never driven out the Jebusites. So the Jebusites lived in Jabus. But David had lived under that shadow all of his life. He'd looked upon that hill all of his life and saw the Jebusites, knowing that that was a possession of Israel, but they'd never possessed it. So one of the first things David did when he became king was take the city of Jabus, hallelujah, and he built his palace there, and he established it as the capital of Israel. Amen. He drove out all the enemies of Israel, and then he brought the Ark of the Covenant there. And he built the tabernacle of David there. And he wanted to build the temple there, but God wouldn't let him. He said, your son will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So it figures largely in the history of Israel. Praise God. David did something special there at the place where the temple is now built. He wanted to worship God there. And so he went, and there was a man by the name of Arona, depending on which book you're reading, and he comes, and David wants to worship the Lord there, and he wants to buy the piece of ground. And the man says, you can have it. I won't charge you anything. David said, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. There's a lot of folks that want to skate to heaven on the cheap. They don't want it to cost anything. They want it to be easy. There's a term we use today called easy believism. Amen. Just believe in Jesus Christ and do what you want to and live how you want to. Amen. No, sir, doesn't work that way. You hear me today. Salvation's free, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your love. It's going to cost dedication. Amen. It's going to cost you consecration to God. You're going to have to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. It's going to cost you something if you're going to serve God. Amen. Praise God. Jerusalem is called the holy city. Why holy? Because it was set apart as being special. God, who set it apart? God did. Of all of the places, he said, I have not chosen this city until now, but he said, I choose this city. I have not chosen a place, but I choose this place. And I put my name there. And when God puts his name on something, it makes it holy. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, because when he puts his name on something, it makes it holy. Hallelujah. It sets it apart. It makes it special. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he put his name in that city, and it made it a special place. Amen. It's a special place. It's called the city of righteousness. What's the difference in holiness and righteousness? Amen. Whenever you become holy, you need to be righteous. The word righteous means you just right. You live right. You do what's right. You try to please God. You want to think right. You want to act right. You want to live right. Anybody know what I'm saying today? Can you hear me? Amen. It's not about what you profess with your mouth, but it's how you live your life. Amen. We can have an outward holiness. We can look holy, but that's not enough. You've got to be holy. The Bible said, be ye holy, even as I am holy. God is separated and set apart and special, and he has called us to do the same, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Jerusalem is a holy city. Jerusalem is the righteous city. It is the place where God put his name. Amen. Hey, but then comes a king that said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Why would you want to go there? I'm going to make it easy on you. You can go to Dan if that's close, or you can go to Bethel if that's close. You'll never have to go back to Jerusalem again. Just make it easy on yourself. I think it's interesting. It says, and he chose priests from the lowest of the people. Interesting term, isn't it? Not from the highest, but from the lowest. He meant low expectations. Low expectations. Isn't it interesting that in our world today, so much of the people that are prominent are low people? Look at Hollywood today. Low people. People that have no morality. People that attack righteousness. People that hate righteousness. They don't want to lift up. They want to drag everything down to their level. Amen. Drag everything down to their level. You see, that when you forsake God, if you're going to pursue God, it's an upward journey. When you pursue God, it's always pressing on, trying to get better, trying to be better, improving yourself, denying yourself, striving to get forward. But if you want to serve the world, it's always low places. Anybody hear what I'm saying today? Amen. It's what Garth Brooks said. I have friends in what? Low places. Down here. Amen. Get down in the gutter. Throw away your morals. Get drunk. Lose your mind. Lose your sensibility. Lose control. Just do whatever feels good. In the low places. We don't want anybody telling us what we should do. We don't want anybody telling us about the sanctity of marriage. Amen. If a baby in the womb is inconvenient, kill it. Get rid of it. Amen. It doesn't have any rights. It's just a piece of physical tissue. Save a baby well, but kill a human fetus. Don't even want to call it a baby because they know that that has the connotation of being something precious and something special. So call it just a piece of tissue so that you have no conscience when you destroy it. But the fact of the matter is, when you destroy life, God does have a payday someday. You see what I'm saying? He chose priests from Lewis people. Don't give people something to strive to get to better and to be better and to live higher and be more holy, but choose the lowest of the people. Amen. He made his own religion. He made his own way. He was Frank Sinatra of his generation. I did it my way. I'm going to serve God my way. Oh, you won't serve God your way. You'll serve yourself your way. And you may do it in the name of God. But if you're going to serve God, you'll do it his way, or there'll be no way. Is it too much? Is it too hard to go up to Jerusalem? Jerusalem's a city of sacrifice. Abraham sacrificed or was ready to sacrifice Isaac there. David paid a dear price to buy the threshing floor so that he could worship God there. Jesus Christ was crucified there. Jerusalem is a place of sacrifice. Jesus said there's two ways. He said there's a narrow way that leadeth to life. And he said there's a broad way that leads to destruction. So you see, he just made it simple for us. There's just two ways. Which road are you on? Some people decide, well, that narrow way, that restricted way, is just too much trouble for me. As for me and my house, we're going to take the broad way. Amen. Well, that's okay. But you're not going to like its destination. Hear me. You're not going to like payday. You're not going to like the end of the way, because it leads, the Bible said, to destruction. There's one way. It's narrow. It's restrictive. It has boundaries. Amen. Some people don't like boundaries. Boundaries are a blessing. I tell you what, I've driven on roads that have boundaries, and I've driven on roads that don't have boundaries. And I like the one that have boundaries, especially when you get up in the mountains. It's really nice. There's just something about when you get up there and it's several feet, 1,000 feet down here, and there's a rail there. Well, that's a boundary, brother. I don't want nothing restricting me. I do. Put me a boundary there, buddy. Make it strong. If something happens and I hit it, I don't want to go over. I might get bunged up, but it won't kill me. But if I go over, it's certain death. Amen. Don't put any boundaries in my life, preacher. You need boundaries. You need something that when you bump it, you say, uh-oh, I'm getting too close to the edge. It's time to come back to center. Amen. Thank God that there's some boundaries in the Christian life. God puts them there. Amen. But Jeroboam said, it's too much to go to Jerusalem. Let's do church our way. Amen. How about doing it his way? Amen. We have some that have said, you know, it's just too restrictive for this generation. You know what? Every generation deserves to hear the truth. I said every generation deserves to hear the truth. This generation deserves to hear it just like my generation did and the generations before. Amen. There's just one plan of salvation. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Peter preached at Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, for the promises to you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, that is the apostolic doctrine. Every generation deserves to hear that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Everybody deserves to have a choice. And friend, if you don't hear the truth, you don't have a choice. Amen. Let's not make it just so easy in our opinion that it doesn't help anybody and can't save anybody. Amen. I learned a long time ago that you can be your own God, but you can't be your own Savior. You can serve yourself, but you cannot save yourself. If you're going to be saved, amen, you're going to have to reach up to somebody that's higher than you. You can't be saved from the low places without getting a hold of something that's higher than you. David said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me. Amen. You've heard of the old saying, picking yourself up by your bootstraps. You've tried it. Doesn't work very well. Amen. When you're reaching down, trying to pick yourself up, it's a defeating purpose. You'll never do any good that way. If you want to lift up yourself, you've got to find something higher than you. Something that's strong and secure. And something that you can pull on that'll help you get out of the mess that you're in. Amen. Hey, let me tell you today, it's not too much. It's worth the journey. Amen. And it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the sacrifice. I'm not going to tell you today that the Christian life doesn't have some sacrifices. It does. But it's worth the sacrifice. Amen. It's worth every sacrifice that you'll make. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together today. Just a simple question. Is it too much? Is it too much? Is it too hard? Is it too restrictive? And the answer comes back, no, 1,000 times no. Amen. Paul, was it worth it? Yes, 1,000 times yes. Peter, was it worth it? Yes, 1,000 times yes. Amen. It's worth it today, folks, no matter what the price. It's worth it. Peace of mind. Oh, it's worth it. Faith that'll get you through any situation. It's worth it. Amen. Makes all the difference today. It's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. Praise God. Oh, just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in His wonder. And the things of this old world, they will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Amen. Think it'd be good today just to step out for a moment. Just come and make a consecration. Jesus, it's not too much. I'm not going to say that it's easy, but it's not too much. I'm not going to say that sometimes it's really hard, but it's not too much. I know that I can't even make it without the grace of God, but it's not too much. You've never asked too much because you gave it all. You gave it all. Amen. You didn't reserve anything for yourself. When it came to purchasing my salvation, You gave it all. Amen. And I'll not do any less today. I'm not going to do any less. I'm going to give it all. Amen. I'm going to give it all. Without reserve. Amen. We'll give it all. Amen. Just give it all. Just give it all. Amen. That's all that matters. If you'll give all of you to Him, He'll give all of Himself to you. Amen. Praise God. What a trade that would be. Amen. What a trade that would be to give all of myself so that I could have